Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So there's no meter to this verse. I'll just read through the Sanskrit once, and then we'll do the word-for-word translation. Sa eva punasarva vastuni vastu surupaha sareshvaraha sakale jagat karna karna bhutaha sarva pratyak atmatvat sarva guna paso palakshitaha eka eva paryava shitaha. Word for word translation. Saha. He. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva. Indeed. He. Certainly. Punaha. Again. Sarvavastuni. In everything. Material and spiritual. Vastu Surupaha. The substance, Sarva Ishvaraha, the controller of everything, Sakala Jagat, of the whole universe, Karana, of the causes, Karna Bhutaha, existing as the cause, Sarva Pratyak Atmavat, because of being the supersoul of every living being, or being present in everything, even the atom, sarvaguna, of all the effects of the material modes of nature, such as intelligence and the senses, abhasa, by the manifestations, upalakshita, perceived, ekaha, alone, eva, indeed, paryavasheshitaha, left remaining. Translation. With deliberation, one will see that the Supersoul, although manifested in different ways, is actually the basic principle of everything. The total material energy is the cause of the material manifestation, but the material energy is caused by Him. Therefore, He is the cause of all causes, the manifester of intelligence and the senses. He is perceived as the supersoul of everything. Without Him, everything would be dead. You, as that supersoul, the supreme controller, are the only one remaining. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The words Sarva Vastuni Vasta Swarup indicate that the Supreme Lord is the active principle of everything, as described in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 35. Ekpo vyasho rachayetum jagananda kotim yachchaktir asti jagananda chaya yadantara adantara sta paramanu chayantara stam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who enters the existence of every universe and every atom by one of His plenary portions, and thus manifests His infinite energy throughout the material creation. By His one plenary portion, as Paramatma, Antaryami, The Lord is all-pervading throughout the unlimited universes. He is Pratyak, or Antaryami, of all living entities. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text number 3, Kshetra Gyam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Kshetra Shubharataha. O Sayana of Bharat, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Because the Lord is the super soul, He is the active principle of every living entity and even the atom. Adhantara sta paramanu chayantara stam. He is the actual reality. According to various stages of intelligence, one realizes the presence of the Supreme in everything through the manifestations of His energy. The entire world is permeated by the three gunas, and one can understand His presence according to one's modes of material nature. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Maditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So, this verse is being spoken by the demigods. The demigods are threatened by the demon created by Tvashta, the father of Vishwarupa, who was killed by Indra. So, that's the nature of the demigods. Whenever they get in trouble, they come to Vishnu for solving their problem. And this is a sign of a devotee. A devotee has some difficulty. He knows that that difficulty is coming, actually, because of our past activities. And ultimately, the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, right? So the demigods go to the Lord for the mitigation of their difficulties. And when they think of the Lord, then they think about all His other attributes, qualities. And here in this verse, some of those attributes and qualities of the Lord are being described. The Lord is Sarva Vastuni, Vastu Sarup. He's in everything. And everything is coming from Him. In the Vishnu Sahasranama, one of His name is Vishvam. Vishvam means that He is in the universe. Vishvam. The word Vishvam means something like when you approach the judge on the bench, you say, "I'd like to present this evidence before the bench." They say like that, right? What they mean is to present it before the judge. But the judge is occupying the bench. And therefore, they're approaching the bench. So the word Vishvam is like that. The Vishva, the universe, is what? It's none other than the Lord, His energy. The Lord is what gives the universe its existence. When we understand that the soul has left the body, we understand that the body is dead. Right? What gives the body its existence? Right? The presence of the soul. The fact that the body is there and is conscious is due to the existence of the spirit soul. Just like the existence of the universe is there because the Supreme Lord is within it. Right? Therefore, sarva vastuni vasta svarup. The universe would cease to exist without the Supreme Lord. Just the same as a body, when the soul leaves it, ceases to exist. The energy that is there within the universe is there because of the Supreme Consciousness that pervades it. Just like in our bodies, our consciousness pervades the whole body. If you have a pain in your small toe, you're conscious of that. Somebody steps on your toe, you go, ow, that really hurts. Why? Because you have consciousness. Your consciousness pervades the whole body. And how does it pervade the whole body? Well, the soul is situated within the heart, as explained in Shastra, and that it spreads its consciousness throughout the whole body through the blood, right? The blood actually comes back to the heart, and material scientists or their doctors say that it gets reinfused with energy by purifying the blood, by coming through the heart. But we understand from the description by Srila Prabhupada, it's due to the presence of the soul that the blood becomes re-energized. Right? The soul and the super soul are residing together within the heart. The Atma and the Paramatma. Right? And the consciousness spreads throughout the body by the blood, which carries the various life airs that are there, some gross and some subtle. If you hold your wrist very tight, then slowly the consciousness in your hand will be diminished. Have you ever had your sitting for a long time in an Indian style and your leg fell asleep? And then when you get up, you can't walk? You say, oh, my leg fell asleep. Right? That means that the consciousness to that part of the body has been cut off. Why? Because the blood circulation has been cut off. So as we have that experience of the consciousness being conscious of our body, right? So the Supreme Lord is conscious of everything. Because he's Vishvam, he's Sarva Vastini, and he's Sarva Swarup. Then the demigods say, Sarva Ishvara, that the Supreme Lord is the controller of everything. He controls everything. He controls everything by his energies. He sets everything into motion. He maintains it. Originally, the Supreme Lord in his Svayam Rupa is existing in Goloka Vrindavan Dham. And there, what does he do? He enjoys with his devotees. That's Krishna's business. He's the enjoyer. He's the supreme enjoyer. He has his devotees in Vrindavan. He has Mother Yashoda, Maharaj Nanda. He has his cowherd boyfriends, Sudam, Sridam, Varutapa, Vishalaksha, so many. He has the cows. He has his flute. It's not like the flute is an inanimate object. Here in the material world, there's the material energy and the spiritual energy, right? And the spiritual energy is eternal, whereas the material energy is always fluctuating. It's manifesting. It's vyakta and it's avyakta. But in the spiritual world, in Goloka, where Krishna resides, everything is consciousness. Everything is consciousness. Now, how can we understand that? Well, we can't. It's inconceivable how everything can be consciousness. How can a flower be consciousness? How can Krishna's flute be consciousness? Right? So to understand the spiritual world and how it exists, one has to be on that platform. One has to receive the knowledge from Krishna himself via his representative. And he has two representatives. He represents himself in this creation, as we said before, as the Paramatma. He enters each and every atom. He enters the heart of every living entity. And he gives guidance. He gives guidance. Right? Paramatma, you know the saying, let your consciousness be your guide. Right? Let your conscience be your guide. We all have that little voice within us that tells us how to do the right thing, what is the right thing. Innately, we know that there's, when we're doing the wrong thing, we know that it's wrong. That's because there's the Paramatma that's there within our hearts. And then there's the spiritual master, who's the external manifestation of the Paramatma. Right? So we can know about the spiritual world by accepting the information that we get. Right? We accept it. And because the information is coming from Krishna directly as a Paramatma or via his representative, who is the external manifestation of Paramatma, if we accept that information, then we can know it. Right? We can know it. Just like when you're a small kid and you know, there's a story about a man and his grown-up son, and they're sitting on the sofa watching the cricket game, right? So the father asks the son, what's that outside? And the son's watching the cricket game, and he looks and he sees it's a crow, and he says it's a crow. Then his father asked him again, what's that outside? And he says, it's a crow. I told you, it's a crow. Then his father asked him a third time. The son got angry. He said, look at him, trying to watch a cricket game. What do you keep asking me this for? And then the father told him, he said, when you were a small boy, you asked me what a crow was 26 times. And I patiently answered you every time what the crow was. Then the son felt a little bad. But that's how information is passed down. You know, when we're small, we ask, what is this, Father? What is this? And he tells you, this is this. And we accept it, right? And then we're right, because we got it from a superior authority. Right? In the same way, transcendental knowledge, to understand the transcendental realm, which is inconceivable, we can understand it when we accept it from the proper authority. So now, in between Krishna, his Swayam Rupa in the spiritual world, and Paramatma, as we said, who's in every atom and within the heart of every living entity, guiding the living entities. What's in between? Well, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that we have the Swayam Rupa, and his immediate expansion is Lord Balaram. Balaram is the expansion of Krishna, and it's described that the only difference between Balaram and Krishna is that Krishna's blackish and Balaram's white. Right? And then coming from Balaram is called the Chaturvyuha, the four expansions, Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. And coming from Sankarshan, another Chaturvyuha expands, Vasudeva, Mahasankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumna. And once on a morning walk, the devotees were talking about the first Chaturvyuha and the second Chaturvyuha, asking Srila Prabhupada. And he said, what to speak of first and second? There are unlimited Chaturvyuhas. But coming from Mahasankarshan, we have the Purusha avatars that manifest. And the Purusha avatars are specifically manifest for the dealing with the universe, right? Dealing with the material energy. We have Mahavishnu, Karna Dakshay Vishnu, who lies down on the Karna ocean, right? And he breathes, right? And when he breathes, the material universes come out and they float on the Karna ocean. And they're unlimited. There's so many different material universes. Some scientists think that this is the only universe, but it's just one. They try their best to perceive how this universe works, what are its limits, what is the outer limit of the universe. But they can't. They can only speculate. Because they're trying to understand with their limited material senses, and even if they create instruments to enhance their sense perception, still it's limited. They can never really understand. Even if they float a telescope into outer space, right? Still they're limited. The Hubble, right? It's limited. So the way to really understand is to get the information that come down to us, and we get that information through the Vedic literatures. And so we have Mahavishnu. He's the universes are out there. There's so many of them. It's just like a seed, a mustard seed and a whole bag of mustard seeds. There's a whole lot of universes. But still, even though there's so many different material universes, the whole material creation is only one-fourth of the Lord's creation. There's a lot more in the spiritual world than there is in the material world. There's a lot more living entities. The number of buddha-jeev or conditioned souls is fewer than those souls living in the spiritual world. Right? So these universes are floating. They're empty. They're in the shape of an egg. Anda. Jagananda. And they're hollow. Right? So Mahavishnu again expands himself as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and enters into each and every one of these universes. And from the pores of his body comes water, lots of water, and fills up the universe halfway with the Garbha ocean. Right? And he lies down on that ocean on a bed of Anantasesh. He's lying there. In Yoga Nidra. And from his navel, due to the actual glance of Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu glances over, and it's in his Shambhu potency, just by his very glance, He impregnates the material nature or the material energy with the living entities. In a material sense, if you want to impregnate, there's just one way to do it. But Krishna has many ways of doing things. He's not limited. Right? One of his senses can perform the function of any other one of his senses. He can eat with his eyes or his ears. Right? When we put the bhoga before the Lord inside the deity room, right? Krishna actually eats it. Sometimes people think that we're just going through motions. We fix the plate. We put the tulsi leaf. We put it on the altar. And it's just a ceremony, cute little ceremony, acknowledging the Lord's existence, which is true. But that doesn't mean he doesn't eat it. Just because our limited perception doesn't perceive it. But the Lord can eat with his ears. He can eat with his eyes. Simply by seeing, he can enjoy those preparations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw during the Rathayatra festival, so many persons came to offer different bhoga to Lord Jagannath. Right? And he saw the preparations and he enjoyed very much seeing those different preparations. So the Lord's senses are not material. They can function any way. And just by his glance, Mahavishnu can look over the material universe and impregnate the material universe with the living entities, which is called his Shambhu potency. So as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is lying down, due to the material desires of the living entities, a lotus comes out of his navel. And the lotus grows and grows and grows, and Lord Brahma is born on top of the lotus. Right? So you have Mahavishnu, you have Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Right? Then what do you need to have? Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Now, who is Shirodakshaya Vishnu? Yes, he's Paramatma. He enters the atom. He enters the hearts of all living entities. Right? He manifests himself in different ways. Right? And he's right there with the living entity through all his different sojourns in different types of bodies. Right? You know, we're thinking, I'm an American and I got an American body and I live in the greatest country and, you know, we won all the wars and whatever it is I'm thinking. But I used to have the body of a pig. And as I'm accompanied by Paramatma in this human form, I was also accompanied by Paramatma when I had the body of a pig. And a dog and a monkey and a tiger and a bird and a tree and a worm, and a one-celled living entity called a bacteria, a germ. Lord was with me. He was always with me. That's the Lord's kindness. And although I was conditioned as a germ and a bird, as a tree, as a dog, as a pig, as a cat, to be like a dog or a cat or a pig because that's the kind of body I had, the Lord was never conditioned. He was always Atmaram, self-satisfied. And he went with me in all these different bodies. What an amazing friend I have as the Paramatma, going with me in all these different forms. So that's why the demigods here in this verse are glorifying the Lord as the super soul. Sarva pratyat atmatvat. He's the super soul of every living entity, and he's present in every atom. So the yogis, they try to understand this Paramatma, right? But that actually the Patanjali yoga system is to perform all the steps of yoga to understand Paramatma. You know, it's very popular nowadays. There's one sadhu who goes around teaching, you know, Kalpabhati and Udharan Bund and Anuloma Niloma, you know. And people think it's sort of, I'll get my health together, control my diabetes, right? Control my weight, get rid of my arthritis. But that wasn't the real reason of the Patanjali yoga system. The real reason was to realize the Paramatma. They're yogis. They realize the Lord that's within the heart. He's there. He's about the size of a thumb, it says in the Bhagavatam, in our heart. And he has four arms, which hold a club, a disc, a lotus flower, right? And a conch, right? So the lotus flower is to bless the devotees, right? Blesses the devotees. And the conch encourages the devotees, right? When the Lord sounds the conch, they get they feel protected, right? But on the other hand, it scares the demons, right? And the yogis can meditate when they get Paramatma realization. His Sudarshan Chakra has 1,000 spokes in it, and they meditate on each spoke. And they see the club. The club is there to protect the devotees, kills the demons, and it's still got blood on it from the last demon he killed. And the yogi can see that. Right? He has a beautiful garland, right? And the bees are swarming around his garland. I noticed the bees are swarming around Prabhupada's garland this morning also. Right? And his feet are decorated with tulsi flowers. There goes the bees again. So the yogis, they can by their yoga, they can see this, can realize Paramatma. Similarly, chanting Hare Krishna, rendering devotional service can put us in touch with the Paramatma. But it can take us beyond. It can take us all the way to understand all the different Purusha avatars, not just Paramatma. Not only that, but the various Leela avatars. Did you ever think where do the Leela avatars expand from? Just like the Purusha avatars expand from Mahasankarshan, back from Balaram. Where do the Leela avatars, Lord Ram Chandra, Matsya Avatar, Narsingha, Kurma, where do they come from? Yes, from Shura Dakshai Vishnu. That's what it's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And even the deities. The deities are an expansion of Shirodakshay Vishnu. Radha Ras Bihari, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, right? Radha Ras Bihari Mandir. It's all an expansion of Shirodakshay Vishnu. So, this gives us some idea about the traits of Paramatma. And by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one comes closer to the Paramatma. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And by keeping in association with devotees, one begins to follow and understand the dictations of Paramatma better? Because the mind always has to follow some authority. There's no choice for the mind. It has to follow the dictates. Now, you know, the capitalistic world knows this very well, and they use that principle of the mind must following the dictates by trying to entice the mind with various concepts. That if you buy this car, you'll enjoy. They put a beautiful woman next to the car, as if by the car you'll get the woman or something, so the mind goes for it. Right? And in this way, they sell their products. So in the material world, basically, the mind is under the impression that by trying to manipulate the material energy, I'll be able to enjoy. So the conditioned soul struggles in the material world, trying to follow the dictates of the mind. But devotional service means to follow the dictates not of the mind, but of the Supreme Lord. And the way that is done is by following the instructions of the Supreme Lord's representative in the form of the Guru. Right? Following Guru. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, engage your mind in thinking of me. The spiritual master says, engage your mind in thinking of Krishna. That's what a spiritual master does. Sometimes the yogis, through practicing yoga, they want to become the Supreme. They feel that by their yoga, they can become the Supreme Consciousness of the universe. As the Paramatma is conscious of everything in the universe, they feel that through their yoga practice, this is what Aurobindo was supposedly trying to accomplish, was to become the Supreme Consciousness, to be conscious of everything everywhere at all times. But that's not possible for the conditioned soul. The Supreme Soul, the Paramatma, he's big, very, very big. And what are we? We're very small. Very, very small. We're eternal. We're full of knowledge. We're full of bliss. But minutely. Whereas the Lord is also Satchit Ananda, full of knowledge, eternally full of bliss. It's very huge. The process of devotional service, thinking about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, rendering various services to the Lord, is to help us to come to this realization. Srila Prabhupada says here, God is one, but people understand the absolute truth from different angles of vision. As they surrender unto me, I award them accordingly. What is that award? He allows them to understand him in various ways. As they surrender. The impersonalists surrender in some regard, and they understand the Lord in a certain way. The yogis surrender, and they understand the Lord in a certain way. And the devotees, they surrender, and therefore they understand the Lord more completely because their surrender is more. They understand the Lord as a person. They understand the Lord who has likes and dislikes. And they try to satisfy him under the direction of the Lord's devotee. This is the process of devotional service. And if one can do this continuously throughout one's life, then one can also think of the Lord at the time of death. And if one is able to do that, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what happens? You don't have to come back here, right? Now, first of all, we should understand that this is not the reality, right? We think it's the reality, but it's not the reality. Our family, our this, our that. It's like walking into a room and there's a rope on the ground, but we think it's a snake. Right? When you turn the light on or whatever it is, and you say, oh, it's just a rope. It's not a real snake. Right? So this material world is like that. Whatever we think the reality is here, well, we're wrong. It's not real. Why? Not because it doesn't exist. It's not that the rope is not there. The rope is really there. But what we perceived it to be was false. Right? Because for that fraction of a moment, we thought it was a snake. For a fraction of a moment, we think that, you know, society, friendship, and love is going to make us happy. But then the light comes on, and you see that it's not real. Right? It's not that it's not there. It's there. It's a real rope, but it's not what we perceive it to be. The impersonalists say that even the rope's not there. Nothing's there. Right? When you have the ultimate realization, you realize that nothing is there. But the light, but the love, but the one. There's a lot of people that are out there talking about the love and the abundance and how to achieve success in life by understanding the light and the love and the abundance. Right? And people follow them. We just had a talk in the auditorium by some person called Deep Tiwari. And he has an organization called Deep Talks. Right? So he talks about the light, the love, the abundance, and how to get in touch with the light, the love, and the abundance. He even talks about Krishna. But he never says that Krishna is God. Right? Krishna's great because he realized the light, he realized the abundance, he realized the love. And we can also follow his example and realize the love and the abundance and the light. And he even commissioned one person to write a book. He wrote a book in Hindi about Krishna. And he asked someone to translate it into English. So he was telling me about it. Never once says that Krishna is God. Not Bhagawan. Not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just somebody who realized the light, the love, and the abundance, and is a good example for us. So this is a perfect instance of someone who tries to use Krishna to put forward his own idea. Right? And there's thousands of people that are ready to pay big money to hear this rascal talk about the light, the love, and the abundance without any benefit. Because they'll never reach the real light, which is the spiritual world. They'll never get out of this material world. They're simply misled. But by good fortune, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even such persons, right, if they come in contact with him, they can be delivered. Their direction of misleading people and being misled can be changed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. See the mercifulness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was the repository of all bad logic, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a young sannyasi, right? From the
What was it?
Bharati. So there's different grades of sannyasis, and the Sarasvatis being the highest, and the Bharatis considered down the ladder. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought two things. I'll instruct him. He was such a great scholar that sannyasis would go to hear from him, even though he was a householder, about Vedanta. He's a householder about Vedanta. Right? He knew so much. So he thought, okay, this sannyasi is a Bharati. I'll bring him up the Sarasvati by explaining Vedanta. And what's more, he's a very young, very, very attractive young man, he thought. In order for him to be saved from the attractions of Maya, I'll instruct him in Vedanta. This is what he was thinking. So he called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he began to explain Vedanta. And for 7 days, he spoke to Lord Chaitanya about the conclusions of Vedanta. But he never asked any questions. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to think, is this sannyasi really understanding what I'm talking about? Because he's not asking me any questions. You know, if you understand it, you ask some question, right? Sign of intelligence is that you ask have a doubt, you ask a question. But no questions. So he said, are you understanding what I'm saying? Gaura Govinda Maharaj used to do that in the class. He used to say, you understand? You understand? He liked to do that to one sannyasi. He used to sit right in front of him and said, you understand, Maharaj? You understand my words? You understand? Right? Gaura Govinda Maharaj? Remember that? So Sarvabhauma, they asked in the same way he's asking Lord Chaitanya, you understand? And Lord Chaitanya, you understand Vedanta? And Lord Chaitanya said, my dear sir, I understand Vedanta, but I don't know what you're talking about. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain Vedanta. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became completely amazed. And he understood that this is no ordinary person. And then at the end of Lord Chaitanya's explanation, Lord Chaitanya's beautiful form turned into Radha and Krishna. And at that point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell down, was crying in ecstasy, understanding who was before him. Right? So in the same way that Lord Chaitanya delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the repository of all bad logic, if he could deliver him, then he can deliver us. Right? On the request, we see that Maharaj Puttaparudra was delivered because Lord Chaitanya was approached by the devotees to deliver him. Even though it was against his principle of meeting a king because he was a sannyasi, he delivered Puttaparudra. Right? He got the mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the gardens, right? The Jagannath Ballabha Gardens, he embraced Maharaj Puttaparudra. Maharaj Puttaparudra recited verses from the Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu swooned with ecstasy. So how did he get to that position? From not even able to have his darshan to being delivered, he became a menial servant. He swept the rut in front of Lord Jagannath. He became a sweeper. He became very, very humble. He felt himself indebted to Maharaj Puttaparudra because he was the servant of Lord Jagannath. So this gives us a great hope. This gives us the example and the key to success in our devotional service. Right? After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had embraced Puttaparudra and Puttaparudra had explained, had recited various verses, and Lord Chaitanya had relished the verses in relationship to love for Krishna, he told the king, take some benediction. He wanted to benedict him. So what did Maharaj Pataparudra say? He said, "My dear Lord, simply make me a devotee of your devotee." And this is what devotees ask for. What did Prahlad Maharaj ask for when he was given a benediction? He just wanted to be a devotee of his devotee, Narad Muni. Dhruva, all are the same. To try to aspire to be a devotee directly of the Lord is not advised. It's a very difficult thing. But try to be a devotee of the Lord's devotee. That's possible. Right? The Lord says, Lord Shiva describes to Parvati, of all the worship of all the demigods, Vishnu is worshipped is the highest. But even higher than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of Vishnu's devotee. Why? Because by trying to become a devotee of the devotee of the Lord, trying to surrender to the devotees, that's the only way that we will be able to actually get the mercy of the Lord. Very easily possible. Very easily possible. Bahut asani se ho sakte hai. Did they translate it the other way for you? So, the demigods are devotees, but they have some material hankerings. They still are after society, friendship, and love. Right? They're attached. It's like one for Krishna, one for me. Right? But pure devotional service is everything is for Krishna. And if I don't get anything, that's okay. And if I get everything, if that's what Krishna wants, it's also okay. I can be in an opulent situation. I can be in a very austere situation. But if that's what Krishna wants, that's okay for me. To have that consciousness is only possible by unalloyed devotion. It's not mixed with a tinge of any other desire, but the desire to serve Krishna. That's the example of the devotees in the topmost place, Goloka. That's what they have. They're not desiring anything, only the pleasure of Krishna. Only the pleasure of Krishna. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. That's what he came to experience. He came to experience his devotees' love for him. What is it? And he came to teach that. And that's obtainable. Nam Shrestham Manumapi. The spiritual master has given us the holy name. Why is it Nam Shrestham? The highest thing he's given us. Why? It's because it can take us to the highest platform. The holy name can take us beyond the Swarga, beyond the Brahmajyoti, beyond the Vaikuntha planets, all the way to the spiritual master following his direction, can take us all the way to Krishna Loka, where there's undivided, unalloyed, pure devotion to Krishna. So although we appreciate the demigods very much, and we appreciate their prayers, and we can learn so many things from the prayers of the demigods, at the same time, we understand the inherent flaw in their mentality, and beware not to get caught by that flaw in our own mentality. Although we're already caught, there's no doubt about that, already caught, but we should keep our eye on the target anyway. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya showed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to which form, Radha Krishna combined form or 600 form?
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described he saw Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahyanya. That's what he saw.
Then Rai Ramanand Prabhu also saw. Which form that is?
Radha and Krishna.
And another.
Which form would you like to see?
Both. Our Leela Avatar. It appears that such as a Leela Avatar, Krishna, Ram, this comes from Kirudaksha Vishnu and in Krishna book also. But it is also mentioned that in a spiritual planet, Krishna, Ram always there. So how we can understand?
Bharam? Well, if you become a pure devotee of Lord Ramchandra, then you can go to that place where Lord Ramchandra is continuously having his pastimes in Ayodhya. That's possible. And there, it's considered superior to Vaikuntha because the devotees have so much interaction with Lord Ramchandra as the king and so many other interactions with him. Ayodhya is considered superior to Vaikuntha. Mathura, Dwarka, considered superior to Ayodhya. And Goloka is the highest. Mostly because of the relationship the devotees have with the Lord. There's some limit in the relationship because of the mood of awe and reverence. But in Goloka, that mood of awe and reverence is removed. So the relationship can expand in many different wonderful ways. You can imagine that the cowherd boys, when they're playing with Lord Krishna, they're playing games, cops and robbers, and the losers of the game have to take on their back the winners of the game. But how could the winner of the game jump on the back of Balaram and ride him like a donkey if he's thinking, this is God, this is Vishvam, Sarvavastani, right? How could he do that? Wouldn't be possible. So all that is erased, right? It's out of the hard drive. And all they're thinking is, Krishna is beautiful, Krishna is wonderful, and Krishna is my friend. And they want to be with him. So that's why it's considered Goloka is the highest. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically invented himself to help all the conditioned souls come to Goloka.
So,
any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Babaji, in this verse it is mentioned that Paramatma is called as a supreme enjoyer. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells about Paramatma supreme enjoyer. There is two enjoyers in this body. One is the Atma and the Paramatma. Atma is understood that he enjoys using his senses. But how Paramatma is enjoying and how he is the supreme enjoyer?
Well, first of all, you can understand that he's not trying to enjoy like you're trying to enjoy or we are trying to enjoy. We are trying to enjoy through the material senses and he's not doing that. But he does enjoy through his transcendental senses. He has transcendental senses that are imbued with various powers. This whole manifestation is for his, is because he wants it. He desires it. Therefore, it's happening. Right? It wouldn't happen if he didn't desire it. Right? So, because we get stuck in trying to be the enjoyer, which we're not, therefore we suffer. when we realize that he's actually the enjoyer and we try to work towards his enjoyment individually, cooperatively, right? He enjoys that. Because of pure devotion, although he's Atmaram, he doesn't require anything, but he does enjoy the interaction that he has with his devotees. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna doesn't need your japatis or puris. He doesn't need that. But if we're following the direction of his pure devotee, just like when Srila Prabhupada went to Australia, he installed Radha and Krishna. And when he was on the plane, he prayed to Krishna. He said, "Now, I can't stay. I'm leaving. You please enlighten them how to worship you properly." Right? So Srila Prabhupada has asked Radharas Bihari to come here and accept our service. He requests. Therefore, they're accepting whatever sincere service is there on the request of his devotee. That's the connection. So we're always serving Krishna through Srila Prabhupada. Radharas Bihari's come here. Why? Because Prabhupada asked him to come here. I can make advancement trying to serve Krishna by following Srila Prabhupada's instruction how to serve Krishna. And there's various instructions that he gave. Be on time. Be clean. Right? Do whatever you do with consciousness of Krishna. You know, I can be dressing the deities and thinking of my girlfriend. Well, that's not going to help. Right? And I can be sweeping the floor and thinking I want to do this very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. So it's not the activity. Krishna doesn't see, who's putting on the garland? He's a big devotee. And who's sweeping the floor? Oh, Jaruwala. No, he sees everything. This is devotional service. He sees the mood. He sees the consciousness with which a thing is done. And he enjoys that. So much so that for anybody who has full devotion, he's ready to give himself completely to that person. So such an advantage that we have being followers of Srila Prabhupada, but all the time we don't take advantage of it. We do things half-hearted, you know, absent-mindedly, right? So if we do things half-hearted and absent-mindedly, we'll get a half-hearted and absent-minded result. Things should be done with full consciousness and attention. That's why it says in the Nectar of Devotion, we should perform our ordinary activities with full attention, knowing very well that they are on the order of Srila Prabhupada for the pleasure of Krishna. Is that okay? Any other questions?
Hare Krishna. You said a devotee thinks if Krishna does not give anything, that is okay. If Krishna gives everything, that is also okay, correct? You mentioned that.
Yeah.
But I have
a pure devotee thinks.
A pure devotee, okay. Pure
the demigods don't think like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But
the demigods think that Krishna ought to kill this demon Vritrasura, yeah. Protect us. You know, they have a different.
But Prabhu,
pure devotees think.
Yeah. But why pure devotee should think that even if Krishna gives everything, that is also okay? Because if Krishna gives Krishna prem, only that is okay. Why you should not think like that?
When a pure devotee thinks everything, he thinks everything for Krishna. and he's okay with that. When a pure devotee, I can just give the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was living in Radha Damodar. He had nothing. His room cost him 5 rupees a month rent. And it was difficult for him to collect the rent at 5 rupees a month. But he was right outside the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. And he was very, very happy in that place. Very, very happy. Extremely. Every day, the Mahaprasad of Radha Damodar would come. Srila Jiva Goswami's, all of the 6 Goswamis used to plan how to spread Krishna consciousness in that temple, Radha Damodar Mandir. He was completely happy there. But he left that place. He left that place on the order of his Guru Maharaj to spread Krishna consciousness. And even though he had nothing, no friends, no, when he got off the boat, he didn't know whether to go right or left. Still, he was okay. When he had to walk past the bums in the Bowery, still, it was all right. Because he had a desire to try to do something to please his spiritual master. And when some people came, and gradually temples expanded, and gradually there was, big centers and all over the world, and he had quarters in all the big cities of the world, still it was the same. His mood was the same. He said in 1975, and at that time he had thousands of disciples. You know, they were selling so many of his books. He was traveling all over the world. Wherever he went, they were greeting him with kirtans and garlands. I remember one time in the Hyderabad airport, Srila Prabhupada came, and Mahamsa Swami organized a reception for him. So all the life members came and offered a garland to Srila Prabhupada. So one would come and put a garland, another garland, and the garlands came up to here. And then they took off all the garlands, and again, one garland, one, and again it came up to here. Right? Such fame. But Srila Prabhupada remained the same as when he was in his rooms in Radha Damodar with nothing. It was okay.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions? Hanuman.
Hare Krishna. After listening the lecture, if one does not ask question, there are 2 things. One thing is that he understood completely, or he do not understand at all. And I have comment about that the persons who is not a devotee of Krishna, they cannot write about Krishna. Krishna said, Bhagavad-gita bhakto same sakhatitim rahasyam hrududdhamam. Krishna can be understood by only by his devotees. So who is not a devotee, they have no understanding of Krishna. Therefore, written literature by this who is non-devotee, that has no value.
Comment. I agree. Absolutely. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Gantrad Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.